All right, if John in Mizzou, Columbia, Mizzou is still listening. John, during the time out there, I went online to look to see if some other lists might be out there with the first-round busts in the NHL. I did mention Brian Lawton. This one website, Bleacher Report, that I'm on right now, has got Brian Lawton listed as the number one overall all-time first-round bust in National Hockey League draft history. And it says here, concerning Lawton, and we'll get to a call here in just a second as well. Also some Cardinal sound we got to squeeze in. Concerning Lawton, the website notes that he played just five seasons with Minnesota, ended his career after 483 games. He had a 266-point career. And here's the mind-blowing thing about the pick that Lawton was by what was then the Minnesota North Stars all the way back in 1983. They picked Lawton first overall out of a Rhode Island high school. That was the same year that Stevie Yzerman went fourth. That was the same year that Pat LaFontaine went third, the same year that Cam Neely went ninth. So all three of those players, Yzerman, LaFontaine, obviously Neely, are in the Hall of Fame right now. And Lawton, of course, did not pan out very well for the Minnesota North Stars. And that one's got to hurt. That one's got to sting. You got Yzerman going fourth, LaFontaine going third, Neely going ninth. All those guys went on to illustrious Hall of Fame NHL careers, and Lawton was a footnote and considered by this particular website here as being the all-time number one first-round bust in NHL draft history. I mentioned Adam Wainwright in the first hour. What a tremendous performance out of him. Cardinals got great starting pitching all weekend long. Their bullpen chipped in as well. Three-game sweep over the Cubs. Here's Cardinals manager Mike Schilt talking about Wainwright after the game.
Just see the game and for what it is and what you're seeing and trust what you're seeing. And what I saw in Adam is a guy with great body language, a guy that still ball was coming out. You know, we spoke before the game about pitch counts, and, you know, I reminded myself that look, he's making pitches. And you know, look through the seventh and sixth and get in the seventh, you're like, he's still making pitches. Send him back out.
126 pitches. 126 pitches, and his right arm is still on his body. And he's going to be out there in another few days to make another start. He will pitch against the Cubs at Wrigley coming up next weekend. And I loved what Schilt did in the ninth. And again, I said this in the first hour, a lot of managers are reluctant to do this. I don't know why. You get your closer out there. He doesn't have his stuff that day. Managers will 9 times out of 10 stick with the closer no matter what. They'll live and die with it. And sometimes they get burnt. Hicks didn't have it today. And Schilt came out in the ninth and replaced them with Brebbia, and the Cardinals went on to win the game and sweep the Cubs this weekend. Colton Wong had a very nice weekend as well. Couple hits, couple runs scored, couple of runs batted in. Made some nice plays in the field, including a nice over-the-shoulder catch in the game yesterday against the Cubs. And here's Schilt on the Cardinals second baseman, Colton Wong.
We've all seen him make unbelievable plays. The timing of the play and the athleticism of the play, along with the awareness of where to play, is something that, you know, is pretty special.
Yeah, I talked about Wong coming into the season and talked about it being a make-or-break year for him in some ways, as if, you know, thinking that, you know, is Wong what we have seen over his first couple of years in the big leagues, or can he go up to the next level? And it's weekends like this, and it's games like yesterday's in which, you know, I see Wong, you see Wong, and I say to myself, there's so much more there than what he has shown. And consistency is what plagues Colton Wong, I think. But, you know, there's times, there's glimpses when he shows you that he can be an elite second baseman. And yesterday, and I think this weekend in some instances, was an example of that. Here's Schilt on sweeping the Cubbies.
You know, and you can't say you expect to, you know, sweep a series every time out. But, you know, people are happy, but we're not surprised. We're happy, though. You know, we feel good about it, and that's for sure. We're going to enjoy it.
And the Cardinals had Andrew Kinzer making his Major League debut today. Yachty on the disabled list for the next couple of weeks. I said in the first hour today that you can argue that Matt Wieters might be arguably the best backup catcher in baseball right now with the production the Cardinals have gotten out of him whenever Schilt has written his name into the lineup. Kinzer in there today catching Adam Wainwright, and here's the Cardinals skipper on his catcher today.
I thought he did a phenomenal job. I really did. I thought he worked really well with Adam. He was prepared, which we expect, but he was able to go take that preparation, slow the game down, and just he did a fantastic job.
And we can't leave out Cardinal starter Adam Wainwright today. 126 pitches, 8 innings, 2 hits in the sweep of the Cubs. And here's Wainwright after today's game.
Everything we do in the offseason, everything we do in spring training and leading up between starts, everything is designed for us to go 9. We're building, we're constantly trying to improve our strength and our conditioning, and so that when we get put in those positions and we do earn those chances, our manager believes in us, we can go out there and deliver.
And here's Wainwright pitching to rookie Andrew Kinsler today.
I was proud of him. He did a great job back there. He called a good game. He moved around well. I told him after the game, I said, dude, there was like 4 or 5 calls we got outs on today that you put the sign down. And I went, well, I wouldn't normally do that, but let's try it. I like that idea. That's a good idea. And it ended up working.
Speaking of Kisner, he gets his major league debut, as I continue to say. Third cut from Kisner. He talks about his first game in the major leagues yesterday.
It's tough to put in words. Just really excited. I think it'll start settling in later on today. But overall, great win. Great team win. Scored runs when we had to. Put together some good at-bats offensively. And obviously, we pitched great.
And one more from Kisner. Cut one. Kisner on catching the veteran Adam Wainwright today.
I've caught Waino a few times in the minor leagues on rehab starts, and you know, I think we have a pretty good scoreless streak going. So I think he likes throwing to me. I like catching him, obviously, and overall, great game.
There you go. A little bit from the Cardinals clubhouse after the third game against Cubs, the sweep. The Cardinals now 2 above .500, 3.5 back in a division, 1.5 out after the or out of the wild card, and after a brutal month of May, Cardinals come out here in the month of June, and you know, despite what happened in May, things could be worse. For the Redbirds, it is a 12:51 on the show. Appliance Discounters phone lines, 855-282-8255. Let me go to them. And Steve, hour two, is back on the Dino Costa Show. Hello, Stevie.
Double D, Disco Dino, folks, the Dino Costa Show, the most intense 2 hours in sports radio. And let me tell you something about that power play. The Bruin power play, those guys, they've got to be channeling Orr, Esposito, and Sandis in the way they're playing. It's crisp, it's quick, and it's bang, zoom. And you know what? He wasn't the number one pick, but he was, you know, supposedly the next Gretzky, if I remember. Brian Bellows, too, he wasn't a bust.
Yeah, good one, yeah.
Right, he was not a bust. I believe he was the second overall pick by the North Stars. And he was like a good to average player. Did win a Stanley Cup eventually. But there were comparisons. They were calling him the next Gretzky, which we all know that stuff is all nonsense.
Well, and, you said the most intense 2 hours of sports radio in America. What do you mean? Can you amplify your thoughts on that a little bit? I'm interested.
Because it's intense. Because it could be anything, and whatever it is, you handle it, and it's great the way you deliver the goods. You deliver the goods. That's the way I can explain it. You remind a lot of people of Bob Grant, Howard Cosell. I mean, it's intense because you're not afraid to hold back, which is very important, and you are yourself. People have to realize that. Like your interview the other day, nobody would have put that guy on, but that was a great interview with the Sneaking In or Ticket List. What was the guy?
Yeah. Ticket List is the name of the book. Yeah.
Right. That was an excellent interview, and because you could deliver the questions to the guy, and you also had personal experiences. And I like to add to that, too. Folks, you should know this. The color copier beat the barcode to the street. So a certain point in the early 90s, when the color copy came out, the scalpers were having a field day. I could tell you that much. They were having a field day out there. And then the barcode came in.
That ruined everything, the barcode, yeah.
Right, and they introduced it probably during the World Series. And the color copy was excellent. You know, it was a perfect, practically a
But wait a second. The thing I'm thinking about is, if even with the barcode, now I don't know this because I don't do this, but couldn't you take a legitimate ticket and photocopy the barcode and have that work, or no?
I could say this. I think you get these tickets where you buy them online and stuff, and is it possible you can make 100 copies of them, and the first person who walks in gets scanned, and the other 99 come in, they won't scan right. They'll probably scan already used or something by that. I don't think the barcode could be copied that easy. No.
Have you ever snuck into a game, Steve?
Oh, man, I got millions of stories in New York.
I knew it.
I'm talking about the average person could never top my stories when it comes to anything, when it comes to sports and getting into games and where we ended up during games and stuff. The crowd would go crazy. I don't want to.
I'll tell you, I never snuck into a game, but I did sneak into Shea Stadium a couple of times. And the last time I did it, Steve, I remember to this very day. The reason I remember it is because I had to go to LaGuardia Airport to pick up my mother, who was in Florida. It was raining that night, and I had some time to kill. So instead of going right to LaGuardia, I went to Shea, and it was a year to the day, 1987, it was a year to the day that the Mets won the World Series. So I snuck into Shea Stadium. Only the auxiliary lights were on in the ballpark and very, very dimly lit around the interior of the stadium out on the field. I actually went out to the pitcher's mound, and I mimicked Jesse Orozco throwing the final pitch past Marty Barrett and jumping up and down. And then I circled the bases like Ray Knight did on his home run, and then I got the hell out of there.
You'd never, with
security post 9/11, there's no way you could get away with that today.
Forget it. They take you out in leg irons.
Yeah.
There was no game, though. You just snuck in. You just went there and just got in when there was no game. Just like two security guards watching the ball. Right. That's excellent. I have some great stories. I don't want to get into them, but until the statute of limitations expire. But it is unbelievable what goes on with the also, years ago, the kids were a little bit older than me. The Mets used to have the Borden's milk cartons. They used to cut those things out. And what the kids would do is they would take the two good coupons and they would cut up the rest of the milk carton to make it look like there was 20 coupons in there and give it to the guy in that little ticket booth there that he was sitting in there, it was like a little wooden shack or something. The guy knew exactly what it was. It wasn't 20 in there. He knew there was only two good ones. But they just to get the people in the ballpark, because you made it back by the people spending the money when you got in there, you know? You got in there for free, you're going to drop money, and you go into a ballpark, you know you need a second mortgage to buy some of the stuff that's in there. But that is fun. There's a lot of great stories and stuff of people getting in there. You did mention the guy. You did bring it up. The guy who would get dressed up as a baseball player or a football player, go on the field.
Barry Brennan, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, Lasorda went after that guy. And when you were talking about that, it reminded me, and this should be played every 4th of July. Remember when Rick Monday snatched the American flag from two guys who were trying to burn it?
Yep.
And Lasorda, again, went out there and was yelling at the guys, too. It was at Dodger Stadium when Rick Monday was still a Cub.
A Cub,
then
right.
Then he became a Dodger.
So I'm compelled to ask, how are things back in my hometown, and how are things on the radio in my hometown these days?
Well, first of all, the hometown, you don't want to be here because it never stops raining. But I've said it before, I couldn't care less. I mean, the only time I hated the rain, I said before on the show, was a kid, our baseball games would be canceled, or they wouldn't let us go swimming because they're afraid we'd get hit with a bolt of lightning or something. If the weather is good where you are, folks, stay where you are. You don't want to come up here. This has been going on for a good year now. This rain, every guaranteed Fridays it's going to rain. Mm. And it doesn't want to stop. It just keeps going.
Is it warming up? What was the temperature today?
Well, the temperatures are nice today. Mm. You did have your rain. They had this big concert on Randall's Island, and they told the people we're going to delay the concert because it's going to rain in the afternoon. It didn't rain this afternoon. It was beautiful. They made all these people stand out there in Rikers Island, thousands of people. And then at night, that's when the rain came, and it came down in buckets. Then they canceled the concert. And that place, Randall's Island, is not really a concert venue. I mean, they have concert there. It's probably nowhere to buy food, bathroom, and stuff. They just herded them in there like cattle, made them wait 6-7 hours, and they hurdled them out.
Randall's Island, where the New York Stars of the WFL played, where Pelé made his North American Soccer League appearance. Your Yanks, you got to be happy. You lost today, but took 2 or 3 from the Red Sox, and the Yankees keep on moving here.
Right. The Yankees, listen, folks, I've said it. It's a rolling roster. There's a different roster going to be one in July, July 31st. August 1st will be a different roster. September 1st will be a different roster. Then you'll have a playoff roster, and there might be one or two surprises. Now, they keep, remember the Yankees passed on Vrielander and Sales. If they would have went after Vrielander 2 years ago, there might have been a different story, a different ending for that season with the Yankees. But unfortunately, they've been passing on those big-name players. So keep that in mind when you hear Keuchel's name mentioned or anybody else's name mentioned out there.
All right, Stevie, we got to run. Thanks for your call. I want to thank Lucas Jones. I want to thank Super Dave for his time. And John in Columbia, Missouri for the email. The Dino Costa Show. Join McKernan, Vaughn, Hayes tomorrow morning, or actually later, a couple of hours from now, as they start your sports radio day off here on 590 The Fan, 590thefan.com. Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow.